Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. Thanks for listening. The inner game is the relationship we have to our authentic purpose and contribution in life. It's about the ways that we grow personally and spiritually on the inside that affects everything on the outside of our lives. The quality of our inner game is becoming increasingly important because we now know that the world shifts to reflect whatever is inside us. Each of our contributions is critical to the quality of what is possible for us all on the planet. These are conversations with people who are up to something evolutionary in their lives, and an opportunity to hear about how these people take on their spiritual and personal growth, and how that strengthens their organizations and offerings to make a bigger difference. Our guest today is Rita Marsh, founder of Davi Nakent, the Center for Human Flourishing, an organization based in Carbondale that hosts workshops and learning opportunities with an impressive array of leaders and healers. And on the Davi Nakent website, there's a beautiful anecdote that you share that says, when seeking a name that would match the vision for the center, we asked a Northern Ute elder for a name that would mean reconnection to spirit. He gave us the sounds and we spelled it out as Davi Nakent. Asked for the literal translation, the elder told us it meant always light. And I just love that. Thanks for being here, Rita.
Thank you for asking me, Gwen.
I'd love to hear about how people sort of generate things like organizations and the efforts and the times that we are in certainly require that we bring forth the gifts and the visions that we each hold within us. And I just would love to hear about the bringing forth of Davi Nakent for you.
Well, it's been quite an adventure. Started back in 2003 through an impetus of the Carbondale Business Council that was present at that time. The director spoke to me about the council or the organization was looking for perhaps a new business to bring to Carbondale, something in the medical realm, and they weren't quite sure. And I just spoke up and I said, well, it should be an integrative center. And she said, well, go for it. Mm-hmm. And we gathered some people together and met several times in the basement of the Alpine Bank. They graciously let us use their boardroom there. Mm. And Davi Nakent came to fruition, always with the vision of having a retreat center here, but it has become a virtual center with now office at Third Street, which I'm so thrilled to have. And 15 plus years later, it's evolving still.
It's amazing to me, having spoken with many people who have histories with the Third Street Center building, and you shared that you were a school nurse there.
Yes, one of my evolutions in my nursing career.
It's so amazing to have a new life, you know, and so many new lives breathed into that place. Maybe talk a little bit about how the Third Street Center and the connection you have there through Davi Nakent and what you see as great value and contributions coming out of that.
Well, the capacity to have access to the conference rooms there so we can host our programs, you know, with the boardroom, the Callaway room, the round room, and the community hall. There's just a plethora of opportunity there. And truly, the connection to the other organizations that are at Third Street Center is really a key part of creating a community of well-being. And so many of the businesses, nonprofits especially, who are at Third Street Center are in the realm of human flourishing.
Mm-hmm. And with Davi Nakent's, you know, kind of the center of it being a reconnection to spirit, I wonder if you see that sort of evolving in the way businesses operate and nonprofits operate. Are you seeing a sort of an openness or the power of a relationship to spirit being more kind of felt and lived in what you experience at the Third Street Center, or just in general?
It's not overt, but it's definitely a thread that runs through the organizations that are there. Valley Settlement Project, which is so involved in bettering the lives of the Latino community from Parachute all the way through Up Valley, you know, that they're definitely a key organization at Third Street. And the Way of Compassion mindfulness program that they have there, and my goodness, we have five religious organizations that host community at Third Street Center. And that's pretty remarkable.
For those listeners who may not know, the Third Street Center is the reclaimed old elementary school in our town and is now a center, a flourishing center in and of itself. I wanted to get a chance to bring up the Charter for Compassion. And this is something that in March of 2011, the town of Basalt adopted the second municipality in the country to adopt this charter behind Seattle. And through the work of Reverend Marie Gassaw, who worked with middle school students in Basalt to write the proclamation that was adopted by the town of Basalt, I wonder what stands out for you about this movement and the connections to the work of Davina Kent.
Well, I was introduced to the Charter for Compassion back in 2010, or maybe even before that, when Karen Armstrong gave her TEDx talk that won her the prize for being able to launch the Charter for Compassion. And Karen Armstrong is an extraordinary woman, an author who studied many, many religious traditions, and having been an ex-nun, and just she just felt so strongly that we needed to bring forth a global ethic of compassion. And she's done it. The organization is extraordinary, how many communities around the globe who are now involved. So it was one of those things that went on the back burner for me for a while. I was very much supportive of what Marie was doing in Basalt. And, you know, it was always an inkling in my heart that the same thing could happen here in Carbondale. And when the Way of Compassion brought forth the film festival, their first film festival last year, I asked if Davina Kent could bring the Charter for Compassion as part of what we would offer to that amazing weekend of film and discussion. And John Bruno said, of course, that would be wonderful. And so we introduced it kind of softly last year, a little more strongly this year, and really want to, I'm so thrilled that you brought it up in our pre-program discussion yesterday, because it's one of those things that's been on my heart. And our organization, Davina Kent, will be joining as an entity, an educational entity, and then to have conversation in the broader community for other organizations to do the same, and then see what will happen. It's very much an organic process, I feel.
Mm. And are there stories of what you've heard happen in any towns after having adopted this? Is there anything that you've heard that, you know, kind of can show people what it can mean to have a municipality adopt this?
I can't bring anything to mind right now, but I do know I was really taken aback a few months ago when I found out there was a Charter for Compassion in Yemen. And I thought, oh my goodness, of all the places on the globe where it's so war-torn, and yet someone has stepped forward and launched this initiative in Yemen. And after the last mass shooting here in America, that organization reached out to the communities who were involved in Texas, and I forget where the other one was, but they reached out and said, "We hear your pain. We're with you." And that started an initiative immediately within 24 hours at the Charter for Compassion to put out a proclamation to support the children of the world and ask people to have a ceremony on the International Day of Children, which was, I think, August 12th. And so we had a small celebration on the lawn at Third Street Center and read this proclamation. And it was a very, very meaningful piece following up the Way of Compassion's Film Fest.
Mm, what a beautiful story. Let me just take a pause for just a moment. This is Gwen Garcelon, and you're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK. My guest today is Rita Marsh, and we're talking about the power of compassion to connect us and to find common ground throughout the world and in our own communities. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit about what your vision would be for, I mean, what you see possible when people have compassion as a guiding principle. Well, what could it mean for our community?
I think first and foremost, compassion has to happen for oneself. Mm. And that turnaround is a work in progress, I think, for many of us to really hold our, to hold myself in compassion, have understanding. So it's the inner journey and then the possibility of just looking at others with that same eye and appreciating each person for who they are without judgment, without any barbs attached. It could be an extraordinary world.
Oh, it's so true. And the more I learn about how people give their gift, how they step into their greatest contribution, so much of it I find is through the portal of self-love. And I think, you know, what happens when you start on a journey of personal development or spiritual development or greater self-awareness, what almost always comes along with that is a greater capacity for self-compassion, because it has to almost, you know, to be able to look at our deep shadows and the things that we tend to resist in ourselves. It takes a tremendous amount of compassion to do that. And so that's sort of built as we start onto that journey. Is that something that you find kind of across the board when you, you know, see how all the different healers and leaders that you've worked with impact people? Do you find that as sort of a common thread?
Well, as you're speaking, I'm bringing to mind a most incredible woman, Anne Hillman, an author that we hosted here. She wrote the book Awakening the Energies of Love, and she was smitten by a quote by Teilhard de Chardin almost 40 years ago when she came to a conference in Snowmass. And his quote, and I'm going to not bring it out clearly, but it was when people discover the power of love, they will have discovered fire for the second time.
Yeah.
And so Anne has been here a couple of times to lead workshops with us, and then there are other people who have that same theme behind the work that they have done, and it's of course, love is central to having relationship with self and with other.
Right. I always love to hear what people are experiencing personally, because I think we relate to each other's stories. You know, and as long as we may, you know, have been involved in a spiritual journey or our own personal development, there's always another layer, right? There's always something still to expand into or to love a little bit more or make a little bit more space for. And I just wonder, you know, what's a challenge or a place of growth that you're experiencing personally that you wouldn't mind sharing? I know that's a very vulnerable question.
Well, just the realization in the past 4.5 years about the importance of taking care of my health in a way that I never really felt was possible. Having been overweight much of my lifetime and done different programs, I never really had anything that stayed with me. When I was introduced to whole food plant-based eating, thanks to Dr. Feinsinger, who our organization supports in his work, something, it was like a switch flipped in my brain and said, that's it. That's what I need to do for myself. And then I realized it was doing it for the planet, too. Mm-hmm. And so that's a personal growth piece that is really most recent in my life. And I just feel so wonderful. I feel fit and strong and have stamina, and I love plants.
It's a beautiful example of because I think so many of us have a hard time kind of slowing down and giving ourselves the gift of focusing on our own health and well-being when it seems like there's so much that is calling to us to be done in the world. So many big challenges, and that it seems almost narcissistic to be focusing on our own healing and growth and well-being. Can you speak about that, you know, the connection that you see happening there and how important it is to always be about the work of greater self-expansion?
Well, it's a journey, of course, going through my career as a nurse and caring for others. A lot of energy was put out, and I'm raising 2 daughters, a marriage of almost 50 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Running up to places of crash and wondering why that was happening, and then realizing so much energy was going out and I wasn't paying attention to the nurturing of myself, and finally realized that unless I take care of myself, I cannot be effective in anything that I do out there in the world. And it was, a big step to turn around that idea of, well, that's selfish. You know, mm-hmm. You just can't be paying attention to yourself all the time. That's self-care and self-nurturing is extremely important. And that's what many of our programs at Dabhe Nikhander centered about, encouraging people to take time, take reflection, and care deeply for self first, and then see what amazing things happen in the outer aspect of your life.
Right. That's almost always what shows up when there is that time that we take for reflection and for nurturing of self. It's almost, I know for myself, I almost always do my best problem solving, my best visionary work. Ideas come about greater service and contribution. And so that time ends up being the most productive in terms of greater service to the world.
Yes, I certainly agree.
So back to the Charter for Compassion, is there something that you would like to focus on, like a piece of it, that you'd like people to understand more deeply?
I didn't bring a copy of it with me. Do you have one?
I do.
Today? Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's very tiny, but if you can read it, please do.
Yes, I'll just speak on the first phrase that's here and then reflect on an experience I had last November in Toronto, Canada.
Great.
So the principle of compassion lies at the heart of all religious, ethical, and spiritual traditions, calling us always to treat all others as we wish to be treated ourselves. So the golden rule. Yes. And last November, a good friend and I, Artis Hoffman and I, went to Toronto to experience the Parliament of the World Religions. And it was a 7-day conference held in downtown Toronto, and there were over 8,000 people that were there from all religious traditions across the globe. And it was an extraordinary experience to be in that number of people with just a sense of peace and ease and concern, deep concern for other, deep concern for the planet. And it was a hugely impactful experience for me. And the people from the Charter for Compassion were there, and their booth was one that was always busy. People were always there visiting with them and hopefully taking back to their communities the idea that Charter can be adopted by individuals, organizations, and by communities.
You shared with me an essay that I've since actually seen floating around Facebook. Chris Begley, an anthropologist, addressing climate change and, of course, the dire need for reducing emissions. And he said something so beautiful about it's really the skill set of empathy, generosity, and courage being far more impactful than any sort of scientific or technical knowledge, although those certainly absolutely important. But it's interesting that it seems to come back to, if we are going to evolve our way out of this predicament that we're in, that it will be through this skill set of compassion and empathy and knowledge and acceptance that we are, and embracing that we are all in this together. And I wonder if if that has been caused sort of a resurfacing of the Charter for you, or has been a part of that at all.
Not necessarily, but it was really encouraging to see what Chris Begley had to say, and very hopeful. And the idea, not only to each other as human beings, but to every sentient being on the planet, and especially caring for the elements, for the water, the air, the land, the soil, all that we need to approach with compassion and care.
As the Native Americans say, all our relations,
yes,
are included, not just our physical or our human relations.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So beautiful. Well, that's a lovely place for us to wrap up. Thank you so much, Rita, for sharing your focus and dedication and love with the community and with us today.
Thanks so much for asking me to be here, Gwen. I've enjoyed this.
And thanks, everyone, for listening today. If you have a question for Rita or me, you can join the Facebook page at The Inner Game, and we can continue the conversation. And until next time, as Davina Kent always encourages, always hold to the light.
Clouds are swift, rocks are ancient, mountains are high, oceans gray, winds are restless, trees are patient, you, my child, are away.
Seas are crashing, rivers churning, planets twirling, stars ablaze, storms are raging, atoms whirling, and you, my child, are away. To perceive these wondrous things, to count the beats of a blackbird's wings, to tell a story and dance and sing. Very happy.